Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie with a church or an individual, or does it lie with God? What if you've been ministered to by me, I'm maybe assuming some things, but you've been ministered to by me, and then all of a sudden I start teaching something that is wayward, that is aberrant, that is not biblical. Are you going to keep your loyalty with me, or are you going to have your loyalty to God?
If you've recently become a Christian, or even if you're a seasoned believer, you may not fully understand the role and person of the Holy Spirit. Today on Practical Christian Living, we continue our opening study in the book of Acts as we learn more about how the Holy Spirit keeps us grounded and in the truth of God's Word. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
I live for Christ. I live openly for Him. I live out loud for Jesus. And when someone asks me a question, it's like a door starts to open or I get an opportunity to share. This happened to me this last week. A Jewish gentleman that I know, not a Christian, but a Jewish gentleman said to me, "What does God think about everything that's going on in the world today?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, God's actually getting ready to restore the nation of Israel. You're a Jewish and God's getting ready to restore your nation." It says, I start telling him all these scriptures and pretty soon I'm like, I can tell, all right, I've overstayed my welcome here. So I was like, we'll talk later. We'll wait for the Holy Spirit to open up a few more doors. But that's the way it works. The Holy Spirit comes out of us, convicts the world, and then we get to share when doors are opened. Now, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. That's true for the Presbyterian who wants to worship God with a hymnal in their hand and just kind of, you know, sing to the Lord. And it's true for the tambourine playing, flag waving Pentecostal who's dancing around while they're worshiping God. Both of them have the Holy Spirit in them. Now, I spent some time as a teenager in charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches, and really extreme charismatic churches. One of them, when you open the front door, you had to walk over people who were slain in the Spirit in the foyer. You're like, okay. That was one of them. The Pentecostal churches that I were in, there was just like wild stuff that was going on. But I also went to a very solid Pentecostal church called Chelwood Park Four Square Church. The Four Square are Pentecostal, and it was very solid, and there was a lot of work done. And I don't want to make it sound like God doesn't work through charismatic churches. We have differences with Pentecostal and charismatic churches. We indeed are charismatic. The Calvary Chapel movement is charismatic. We're just charismatic with seatbelts on. That's all. Now, I didn't come up with that term. I stole it from somebody, but I like it. We're charismatic with seatbelts on. We're not going to get over here and do things that are unbiblical. And I want to say that that's the danger of the Pentecostal side. They can begin to believe in that God wants you always to be healed. God wants you rich, the prosperity movement, New Age movement. They believe in revelations, that God can give personal revelations that go beyond the Word of God. I believe God can give you a revelation and then back up what that revelation is by the Word of God, but He will never take you out of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, that the man of God could be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing, for every good work God has called him to do. This means that I am lacking nothing. So when someone goes outside of it and starts to get into the New Age or into some kind of weird teaching, the Bible says in the last days, men are going to heap up for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. And Jesus said, when the disciples asked about the last days, take heed that you are not deceived. You have the responsibility to make sure you're not deceived. The way you can keep from being deceived is to stick to what the Bible says. There's so much here that we don't understand yet that we can spend our lifetimes going through the scriptures. You don't have to go into the New Age movement or these other things. Bethel Church has gone down that road. They're a Pentecostal church that has gone all the way out on the deep end, and they are now doing things in the essence of what that church is that are wrong. Now, some of you might have been ministered to by Bethel, and you might get upset when you hear that. But I have a question for you. Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie with a church or an individual, or does it lie with God? What if you've been ministered to by me, I'm maybe assuming some things, but you've been ministered to by me, and then all of a sudden I start teaching something that is wayward, that is aberrant, that is not biblical. Are you going to keep your loyalty with me, or are you going to have your loyalty to God? God is the highest loyalty we have. And even if we like someone and we've been ministered to by them, but we find out that they've been teaching aberrant Christian teachings, then we do not want to follow them. Take heed that you are not deceived. And hey, we can sometimes be deceived and then find out what the truth is. So the Holy Spirit is inside of every genuine believer, every one of them, even the ones that don't believe in the empowering of the Spirit, every genuine believer. So Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, this is the altar call after the day of Pentecost, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who repents and believes receives the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit you were baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's the diversity. Slave, free, Jew, Greek, we're all made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 16:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that if you are standing next to a non-believer, the non-believer does not have the Holy Spirit inside of him. And you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Not only is he inside of you, he's flowing out of you, right? And he's convicting the world around you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now, one more passage. This is 1 Corinthians 12:13. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit calls Jesus accursed. This means genuine Christians don't curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean a non-believer can't go, Jesus is Lord. It means you can't say it and mean it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be working inside of you so much that if you have called Jesus your Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Now, here's the question. As we go to the upon experience now, he's with you, he's in you, and now he comes upon you. There are those who say that the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon people anymore, doesn't empower people anymore. Never does the Bible tell us that these things are going to go away, but that we see it throughout the book of Acts all the way to the end. The Holy Spirit continues to empower people. Is there a second experience of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Spirit? Yes. And there is a third and a fourth and a fifth. John Corson used to say, get under the spout where the glory comes out. And then he would say, and stay under the spout where the glory comes out. So you are constantly being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see the church baptized in the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and then again in Acts chapter 4, and then again in Acts chapter 8, and then again in Acts chapter 10. So we see a continual empowering of the Spirit to do the work God's called them to do. On the upon experience, I'm going to read you Acts 1:8 again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, who were there in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and where baptism of the Spirit happened, there in Acts chapter 4, they're preaching the gospel, and the Jewish leaders take them aside and tell them, if you continue to preach in the name of Jesus, we are going to have you openly flogged. Now, they don't want to be openly flogged. So they gather together with some Christians and they pray. And this is the prayer they pray. Lord, you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Now consider their threats and give us boldness that we might speak in your name. Now, I would pray the same kind of prayer, but I would add one thing. Lord, don't let us be openly flogged. And you created the heavens and the earth. They didn't even pray that. They simply prayed, give us boldness no matter what happens. Give us boldness that we would speak in your name. Now look what happens in Acts 4. This is Peter and John warned. They've already received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Now this is Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So they're filled again. In Acts 8:12, the Samaritans receive the gospel. Philip, one of the deacons, goes and preaches the gospel to them. The Samaritans, remember the Samaritan woman that Jesus went to and said, you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. They receive the gospel and get saved. When Peter and John hear about it, they go to Samaria. This is Acts 8:14 and 17. Then when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They had already believed, and they had already been baptized, so the Spirit was already in them, but now they pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It says, for as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. It's possible to be saved, to have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and to not be empowered by the Spirit. It goes on to say, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The water baptism, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, meaning they were now empowered to do the work that God has called you to do. Now we'll return to this in a moment, but let's continue on in our text. In verse 9 it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they were watching, the disciples are in Bethany on the Mount of Olives, and they're listening to Jesus telling them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And then while he spoke these things, while they were watching, he was taken up in the cloud, received him out of their sight. Matthew tells us that some of them, when they saw this, didn't believe. They were like, what am I seeing? Jesus went up and it got enveloped in the cloud. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? So they're looking at Jesus. He's telling them to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden he's taken up into heaven. And when he gets in the clouds, they just keep looking. And I think they're like, do you see him anymore? I don't know. I don't know if I see him. I don't know either. And finally angels are like, why are you guys looking up into heaven? We'd probably do the same thing, really, if we were there, right? This strange thing happens and Jesus is taken up, but he had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. And then the angel says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's going to return. And this is one of the key tenets of Christianity, that Jesus is going to return. In fact, the earliest creeds by the earliest Christians, they put these creeds together to get the tenets of what Christianity was solid. And the earliest creeds say, Jesus is returning to judge the living and the dead. It's one of the main tenets of Christianity. I tell you that because there are groups like full preterists who don't believe Jesus is coming back. The world's just gonna finally, we aren't gonna be able to live here anymore. Think bad things and the world's gonna go away. Jesus isn't coming back. But the Bible teaches specifically, he is coming back. He said he was, and he will come back. Now, three things in closing. And hopefully I wasn't too fast as I went over all this stuff. It was kind of auctioneer-ish as I was making my way through it. Three things in closing. Number one, the world around you is influenced by the Holy Spirit. So be bold. Talk of Christ. Ask people if they want to receive the Lord. Move through open doors. Pray for people. Say things like, can I pray for you? When you know they're going through difficulties. Even if they're not believers, ask them, can I pray for you? Show them that you rely on God because the Holy Spirit is already convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Bible says one man sows, another man waters, and God gives the increase. Whether or not they become saved, that's God's business. The Bible doesn't say one man sows, another man waters, and another man gets the increase. But God gives the increase. So be bold as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus. You are following him. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You are an ambassador of Christ as if imploring with people to reconcile with God. Number two, John 16:13 says, the Spirit will lead us into all truth. And so when someone even uses the Holy Spirit and a special revelation by the Holy Spirit to bring up something that's not in the Bible, we will reject that because the truth is found in Scripture. This is what God has revealed, and we will not allow. The Bible says in the last days, men are going to heap up for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. And we want to stay true to what the Word of God says. And even though you might receive a revelation from the Holy Spirit that you might not have learned from Scripture, it's never going to contradict Scripture, and it's never going to be something that isn't in Scripture. In other words, and this is happening today, where the New Age movement is being embraced by extreme Pentecostals. They're saying that the world has its vibrations and the whole universe is alive, and God's revealed to us that the next move of the Spirit is going to be through sound and vibrations and light. And these are all, that's the mumbo jumbo of the New Age world. they say things without saying things, and that's happening in the church today. It's the consciousness of God moving within you through the vibrations of the world that is around us. You're like, what? What are you saying? That's creeping into the church. And so the Spirit will lead us into all truth. We want to stand in what the truth is. Can I also just give you a little direction? We're doing a lot on YouTube these days, and I've discovered something about it. It's a great place for learning, and that's where people go to learn. So it's a great place for learning. We want to have a presence there. But there are groups that teach false teaching, and they make a generic YouTube page, something like the Glorious Light YouTube page or the Well of God YouTube page. So I've just made those names up. If they're out there, I'm not talking about them, all right? I just made those up on the spot. And then they'll put their stuff out. And when you start watching it, it sounds good at first. And then all of a sudden you go, is this Mormon? And they don't say they're Mormon. But you look it up and you could go and you do a YouTube search, is the Glorious Light Mormon? And there it is. Yep, they're Mormon. So you've got to be careful if you don't know who they are. If they don't tell you who they are in the description, then you don't want to be listening to them. They're going to tell you who they are in the description. Just be careful. A lot of the groups do that. Those teaching baptismal regeneration do it. The Seventh-day Adventists do it. And here, about Seventh-day Adventists, some of them are now coming around to being genuine Christians. But some of them are still legalistic. So you've got to be careful. You can't judge them all, but you got to be careful. And this group has their generic YouTube channels not telling you that they're Seventh-day Adventists. Let me just ask you the question. If they don't tell you who they are, why aren't they telling you? In our description, it says Calvary Tucson, a Calvary Chapel, and it gives the description of what we are. If we aren't telling people what they are, why not? Are we being deceptive to try to trap people? So just be careful. The Spirit of God, John 16, 13, leads us into all truth. And so we know the truth is founded on the Word of God. And God has given us the scriptures that we could be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. I don't need anything that's outside of scripture. Number three, and finally, pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. And I love that Jesus just throws in there, you guys are evil, right out of the blue, you know? You guys being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You just need to ask, Lord, I want to be empowered by you. I want to do the work you want me to do. I want what you want for me. I don't want something you don't want for me. I don't want something that somebody came up with. I want you, but I want to be empowered by you. Ask him. It's a prayer he wants to answer. And I believe that you will be empowered to shine as a light for him. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're ambassadors of Christ. We need the power, we need the equipping to be able to do the work that God's called us to do, because we probably won't be very good on our own. We want to be empowered by him. And I want to pray for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit before you leave as well. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we're able to take time to look into your word. Thank you that we can learn here the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works among us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to walk in this truth with the authority of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit empowering us, that we could be the light and the salt to a world who so desperately needs you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you have never received the Lord and said, I want you in my life, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that. This is a very biblical thing. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to be a child of God to those who call on his name. This means you can invite him in. And when you do, you are becoming a follower of Jesus. Just like he said to Peter, James, and John when they were mending their nets, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. You're going to leave your old life and you're going to follow him. Jesus gave you an invitation. Listen to what he said. If anyone wants to be my disciple, then let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And you fall into the term anyone. He's giving that invitation to you. If anyone wants to be my disciple. Now you are going to deny yourself and you are going to follow him and you are going to be living for him now because you're his disciple and he's your teacher. He's the Messiah. He's the one you're following. So there is sacrifice that is involved in you giving your life to Christ. And you need to understand that. But you are now saying, I want to be a part of what God is doing and be one of his disciples. If you're here today and you want to invite Christ into your life, you want to receive him, your sins will be forgiven. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He has works for you to walk in, things for you to do that he wants to empower you to do. You want to give your life to Jesus today? I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just raise your hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed, but be bold. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to be his disciple. I want to start living for him. God bless you, sir, right there. And God bless you guys in the back. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, right here to my right. And God bless you, ma'am, right by the aisle. That's awesome. Anyone else? This is your day. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. This is your day. The day that God has called for you to surrender your life to him. Just raise your hand up now. Again, lift it up high so I can see it. Telling me I'm missing one over here in this section somewhere. But God sees it, okay? Even if I don't see it, I'm going to say, God bless you. There it is. Okay, God bless you. That's great. I wanted to see it. All right, so you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, and God bless you, sir, right here to my left. I saw your hand as well. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. I'm so excited for you. I remember when I decided to become a follower of Jesus, and I remember that God radically changed me. And almost immediately, I was 14 years old, and I can tell you I did not want to go to church. I felt I had a drug problem. I was being drugged to church. I didn't want to go. But suddenly, after giving my life to Christ, I wanted to know the Bible more. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to get around other Christians. God transformed me, and God's going to do the same to you. Now, I want to pray for you guys. And I want to kind of preempt your prayer for the Holy Spirit, unless you've already prayed for it. I want to pray that God would empower you with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands. They're made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray that you would give us the Holy Spirit. Let us receive the Holy Spirit. We know he is already in us as Christians, but we want the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to be your witnesses all around the world. We pray that you'd use us, that we would walk in the works that you've given us by the power you've given us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.